Hey folks, it's John Orlando, and before you start listening to this episode of the PVD Cast, I want to just chat at you real quick about Stitcher Radio. I've been very vocal about being very proud to have the PVD Cast on Stitcher Radio, and if you're already listening to this particular episode on Stitcher Radio, you know I'm speaking the truth. You know how awesome it is. It is a free app that is easily downloadable to any tablet, any Android, any iPhone. And you can listen anytime, anywhere, even without Wi-Fi or cell connection. Stitcher is an award-winning app that brings you all the news, all the entertainment, all the wrestling, all the whatever you want to listen to. There's probably a podcast on Stitcher Radio for it. So folks, if you haven't already downloaded the app, go to Stitcher.com. They'll tell you where you can get it, or just go to your app store and download it. And then you'll be able to catch up on all of the podcasts that you love, even mine, the PVD Cast. So, with that being said, Stitcher Radio, it's the place to be, it's the place to get your podcasts. Go on over to Stitcher.com or check out your app store and download the app. And with that, thanks for listening to this edition, this new episode of the PVD Cast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city, Columbus, Ohio. I'm joined by my friends, Brian and John. How you guys doing today?
Good morning, sir. How you doing this morning?
Very good, John.
Yeah. You know, I realized it's been like 6 months since you've been on.
Okay.
February. I looked it up, actually. The beginning of February was the last time you were on with Rich.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, when you were back in town. Yeah, that's right. When it was brutally cold out.
And Rich was brutally drunk.
You know what? Probably. More than likely, that's a possibility.
Was that the two-parter?
No, the two-parter was at the end of the year.
Wow.
Because this was, you guys came up and you were in town. I don't think he had that much to drink that night.
Yeah, maybe not.
No, I think that one was.
That wasn't the two-parter in Rich's rec room.
Yeah.
No, that was not. No, it was not. So
that was entertaining.
That one was the one where I think he had a bit of the sauce, as they would say.
It was a train wreck.
It was.
An enjoyable one.
I got compliments on that one. That's a lot of compliments, but.
Well, obviously we need booze so that we can remain as entertaining as Drunk Rich.
All right, so you guys came up to visit Casa de la Orlando. We ventured last night out to Crew Stadium to see the LA Galaxy play the Columbus Crew.
See the LA Galaxy flop against the Columbus Crew. Yeah.
Yeah, for those that are unaware, Columbus beat them like they owed them money, 4-1.
What's the old Dennis Miller line? They beat them like a narc at a biker rally.
Really? Nice. Yeah. I like that one.
That was back when he was funny.
Yeah. Anyways. So let's talk about your love of soccer, John. I know you're a big soccer fan. So
big soccer fan.
How did you get started liking soccer? Because let's be honest, it is not the most popular sport in the U.S. of A., right? I mean, it's fair to say, right?
I want to say in my hometown, they started a youth league maybe 1980.
Wow.
And I had a cousin who played. And, Tim's going to do that. I want to do it, too. And I went to a couple practices, and I played as a 7-year-old, I think, was my first season. And I played youth soccer through 8th grade and got to like it and liked it. It was not on television a lot back then. World Cup qualifying for the U.S. national team was not on.
Yeah.
Even in 1980, it wasn't on one of the three channels we got.
Right. ESPN didn't show it.
Well, I think it's pre-ESPN. Because ESPN's not till 83.
Is it?
I think 1983 is when ESPN comes around.
I got to watching it, and friends that played on the high school team, I did not play. But the World Cup in 94 was, we hosted in the United States, and I was actually on vacation in Florida, and they had games in Tampa and Orlando, and I didn't get to go to the games, but you could see how, you know, how it was impressive. Where all these soccer fans in this country coming from? I didn't think anybody watched this or cared, but 94 was a big year for soccer in the country.
Fact check, by the way, ESPN launched in 79. My bad.
Probably in like three markets. You know?
They were in New York and Hartford, and that was in Boston. And that
Atlanta,
was
it. Maybe that was it. Yeah.
And I'm a sports fan
and
a patriotic American.
That's right.
And we put together a women's team for the inaugural, well, I'll put it this way. In 1991, they had the Women's World Championship. They didn't think the women could sustain a tournament, so FIFA did not put the name World Cup on the tournament.
Really?
It was just the women's tournament, because they didn't think anything would come of it. It was almost an experiment in 91 in China, and the U.S. won. And then the second tournament was in Norway in 95, and they lost to Norway in the finals or semis, as I recall, offhand. In 99, we hosted, and that was Brandy Chastain.
That was the famous win.
The famous
taking
goal.
The shirt, taking the shirt off. Yeah.
And the women are successful. That's their second World Cup win, and the men went 40 years without even qualifying for the final tournament.
So let's back up a little bit. I'm trying to think, when did I first see soccer on TV? Because you were saying, you know, it wasn't until you went down to Florida, right, that you saw it on TV?
Well, that I noticed, like, there was a fan base.
Oh, okay.
For it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're on the TV down there, and they started MLS in 96, and Tampa was an inaugural team, and it didn't last, the Tampa Bay Mutiny. And I got to see them. That was my first professional game in person, and it was like a ghost town in the stadium the Buccaneers played. I mean,
Raymond James Stadium, wasn't that
it?
Yeah.
But it was a great time. And they made a point to get maybe not over the hill, but past their prime players, and they made sure they placed them strategically. So Carlos Valderrama, if you saw a picture of him, you'd recognize him because he had a big old
afro.
Really flamboyant, Colombian, and we have this great player of Hispanic origin, let's make sure he's playing in a Hispanically oriented city like Tampa.
Yeah.
So he was there, they made sure he played there. But the women's team, my eldest daughter played soccer from the time she was 6 or 7, and she was a goalkeeper, and that 99 World Cup was her first like real attention, and it was here in the United States, and all the games are on TV. And so that brought me more in tune with the women's team, which again is successful. They've won World Cups, and you know, Mia Hamm was a big star in her prime. Like, people knew she's doing commercials.
Yeah, she's on the cover of Wheaties,
shampoo commercials.
Yeah.
And they had a Mia Hamm Barbie doll, which was unfortunate because it had, you know, proportions more like Barbie and not Mia Hamm.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't she she was very tall and slender and busty.
Yeah.
The feminist in me did not
care for that even at the time.
Uh-huh.
But now with all the cable outlets and all the opportunities to watch for programming, it's on so much. And, you know, the World Cup, the Men's World Cup is in the summer, and it's, you know, there's all these games on for a month.
What about you, Brian? When did you start liking soccer?
It was one of, I mean, honestly, I'm not as good as years as him. It was one of the World Cups. I was working at a radio station, and when you work at a radio station, there's always TVs. We have TVs in every room. When you're playing music, and then they're listening to the music, you're watching television. And one of the World Cups was on, and really got into it, and watched almost every game. Whenever any shift I was working, would end up watching one of the World Cup matches, much to my co-workers' dismay. Understand, but I always enjoyed it. Every World Cup, didn't see much other than that. And then, of course, as far as live games, it's only been right here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I've only went to Columbus Crew games. I went to one in '97 when they still played at the Shoe. Stern John, who
Jamaican superstar.
Jamaican superstar Stern John, which I thought was just the most badass name ever, like for any type of athlete. You know what? I think it's exciting. I think, crew soccer is exciting. I think I've said before on this very podcast, it's entertaining. You got the Nordex section, which is just the craziest fans that you could imagine.
That is an impressive thing. Now, you watch hardcore European games and the entire stadium is like that section.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet.
Yes, no.
But it's great to see. You know, they're not paid shills for the crew. These are enthusiastic fans.
Nope. And did you notice at the end of the game how a lot of the players go over to that section and literally
they
thank
appreciate
them?
It. Yeah.
They really do. I thought that was really neat. Last night,
for an example, I thoroughly enjoyed, they had a gigantic banner. Literally went from the bottom section of that seating area all the way to the top, and it was a spoof of Space Invaders and Guardians of the Galaxy, where it was like they had done up, screen printed this banner that had like the little Space Invader characters, and it says Guardians Against the Galaxy, which I thought was funny.
That was witty,
you know. And
In 99, we hosted the Women's World Cup. 2003 was scheduled to be in China, and then SARS gripped China.
No.
And they said, we can't have all these international travelers come to China, however they phrased it. This is unacceptable. Who else can host this on short notice? And the U.S. got to host in 2003.
Yeah.
So basically back-to-back World Cups.
Yeah.
And they had games in Crewe Stadium because it is a great soccer stadium.
And we got to take a tour of it, too.
Yes,
we got a tour. I got an email about, because I purchased tickets through the Crewe's website, and I got an email, which I will admit, when I first got it, I thought, this is a scam. Because it was like, your free tour of Crewe Stadium. I'm like, I don't know who this Andrew fellow is. And I was, I thought it was the Nigerian Prince email that everybody gets, So I scrolled down to the bottom, and it looked legit because it had all of his contact info and the Crewe logo and that. So they randomly selected me and my friends to come on down for a tour of Crewe Stadium. And it was actually really neat. It was a neat tour. We learned something. I don't know if I want to reveal what we learned. We learned a secret that nobody seems to know about.
According to the tour guide. Nobody knows about this. But
nobody knows about the Upper 90 Club.
Yeah. Which apparently isn't much of a club.
Frankly, has a big sign on it. If you're in the stadium, you can see Upper 90 Club. You can see where it is. Nobody knows about it.
It's a nice clubhouse that's air conditioned. If it's raining, obviously it's indoors. You could still see the field. And apparently on the tour guide told us that no one knows about this because the way that it's built and the way that it's labeled, people think you have to have special privileges. You gotta have a gold ticket to get in the place, but it's open to the public.
I noticed last night they have new ownership. And we were there, they're announcing their new president.
Yeah.
I noticed one thing from last year to this year is signs that say, such and such this way, open to the public. They're putting that on signs.
Yeah.
This deck is open to the public. Because they want people around for the whole stadium experience.
And some of those luxury boxes that we have to take a look at, the price tag on those, I think it was astounding. Brian, you were shocked by that, right?
What was the first party rooms, I believe.
A full-size party room, $2,800 a game, maximum 30 people.
Wow.
We had about that on the tour.
Yeah.
Party room sounds like the swarthy back part of a strip club.
Right.
Hey, gentlemen.
Disco they don't ball. Say what we could do or not do in there.
Yeah.
But it is all open front glass.
But there were bowls of Chex Mix and a refrigerator with beer, so clearly a party room.
Did you get that? I never thought to ask. Does that come with the party room?
I got to assume for $2,800 they can throw in some Chex Mix.
They better throw some Chex Mix and some beer in that fridge,
You can. Somebody asked as we were.
Really?
They were.
There.
Yeah,
you
they
can,
did.
You can. There's a standard, and then you can cater extras or specifics or things. And if you have 30 friends that are willing to do that, it's under $100 per person.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a big corporation, that's a drop in the bucket.
That's a tax write-off.
Yeah, that's schmooze money.
Yeah.
I think we all agreed, all three of us, would struggle to come up with 30 friends who enjoyed soccer
enough to put
$100 towards the party room.
But then they have the smaller party rooms that can hold about 15 people, and they're, what, $1,700 a game? Yeah.
The half-party room.
The half-party room. So, I mean, it was an interesting tour. It was neat. I think that stadium is a great stadium. I know that they host Rock on the Range there. That country singer Jason Aldean's coming there. Here's one thing that I thought about, and I'll probably catch flack for this. That would be an awesome place for the WWE to come.
Yeah.
For, like, SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be really cool to do that, because I think that you could fit, because if I remember correctly, Crew Stadium fits, like...
21,000.
21,000.
In the stands.
In the stands, you could put seats on the floor. You could easily get 30, 35.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, if indeed, you know, you had the ticket sales for that and the interest for that, you know.
Do they do well with the Rock on the Range thing? Does that... is it?
Oh, yeah, Rock on the Range is a big moneymaker. Okay. Yeah. Although, None of the bands interest me, and it's one of those... It's so big, to be honest with you. Like, even if there was a band I wanted to see, I could not justify going, I'm going to spend $90 just to see this band when I don't like any of the others. You know, it's one of those type of deals. But it's all very much heavy metal.
You know, it's one of those all-day festivals.
Yeah, it's an all-day... It's I think, if I remember... I don't know. It's every May, usually... a weekend or two before Memorial Day, and it's usually, I think, Friday evening, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
I just remember the tour guide was proud to point out, we make a lot of money from concerts.
The league started in 96. The Crew played, I don't think they played at OSU Stadium, I don't remember.
No, they do, but they played at the Shoe until 99.
They built Crew Stadium. It was the first purpose-built soccer stadium for the league.
Yep.
Wow. Lamar Hunt funded it.
Yeah, because they even mentioned the team. They mentioned last night too that, like, Portland's stadium is an old retrofitted baseball stadium that they put in there. So
what was the year? The first year that we went to a game at Crew Stadium. What year was that? Do you remember?
Because
02 or 03? Could it be that?
I don't think it was went that. Because I don't think I had been in there till the Women's World Cup in 03.
Yeah.
We got tickets, and when the tickets went on sale, you had to buy... They had six games, two a day, so 3 days worth of two games, you know, six games, and you had to buy the whole package, so we did. My oldest daughter was 13 that spring, 14 that spring, and we tracked up for each of those days. And that was my first time in the stadium.
I think we started going in, I want to say, 08 or so, when you guys started coming up here to visit, you know, because you had work or whatnot, you happened to be in town. Because my roommate worked with a guy whose fiance was one of the cheerleaders, which I didn't see the cheerleaders last night.
No, didn't see them.
Maybe they did away with them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, there were some alumni apparently in the upper 90 club. There was a table of young ladies next to us that were all very giddy and happy to see one another. It was like a class reunion, so yeah, I can only assume maybe that's, you know.
I saw a mascot. There was a guy in a mask.
Yeah. And those girls had those jackets on that said Cruisers Dance Team.
Why is he a cat? They're the Crew.
I don't know.
They just picked it randomly, and
that's a very good question. Because maybe they didn't want to have, like, who's the mascot, the Boilermaker? Is it the guy that's like the steel guy in the...
No, don't even bring him up. Steely McBeam, the steel worker
from the Steelers. Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's what I'm thinking. My bad. Steely McBeam. My bad.
No. Now you'll recall when they unveiled their logo. Why is this Columbus soccer team, why are they wearing LL Cool J hats? What is that? Are they a rap crew? That was my belief. I couldn't tell from the illustrative logo that they were hard hats, because they're the hardest working team in MLS.
Yeah, road crew, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not a breakdance crew.
Like one of those Pangol hats with the rim all the way around. I didn't get it.
I like that our tour guide found that humorous as you announced that as we were walking it. He found that very, very funny.
He also almost repeated a swear word for
off-color
remark.
Here was the question. What was the first band to play the inaugurate Crew Stadium? And I said, the Backstreet Boys. And he said, no, you're close, good guess. And I said, someone equally a sucky. And he said, yeah, someone's equally... And he froze.
And he realized.
But it was NSYNC, which I fully acknowledge is wildly better in quality than Backstreet Boys, but I couldn't remember who they were.
Couldn't even make that claim. So very good. You do have
I did ask the tour guide. I go, you almost said it, didn't you? Because I did, almost. Your friend almost got me. So, you know. Yeah, there would have been.
have you coached soccer? Have you officially?
Soccer. I was an official assistant coach for my daughter's high school team for a year, and she couldn't stand it. It was the worst time ever. I started, we're at Meet the Team. Everybody, all the different fall sports for the high school, they're there, they're going to get introduced, the coaches are going to talk. Beforehand, the coach says, hey, John, can you help me out this year taking stats? I turn to my wife and say, hey, can I do this, take stats? Because we had a young baby, and I didn't want to. So, yeah, that's fine. By the end of the day, I was a full-fledged assistant coach, and by the next practice, I was goalkeeper coach, and my daughter was the goalkeeper, and she couldn't stand me working with her one-on-one, correcting her when she did something wrong, or anything of the sort. It was a miserable season for her.
Did you have no backup?
Pardon?
Did you have a backup?
A backup goalie?
Yeah,
she was a freshman, coming along, and I would help her, like, JV games. Okay. I think I actually had to coach a JV game.
Really?
It was a mess. But I did it, but then I didn't coach them again the next year. By the next season, we had another baby, and I knew Anna needed to keep her head on, and I wasn't going to screw with that.
So, I know that you mentioned that the big controversy in soccer right now is that they want artificial turf for Qatar.
Right.
And so some of the players are not happy about it. They're getting injured, et cetera, et cetera. What was the worst injury that your daughter had as a goalie? Because my nephew was a goalie in high school all 4 years. And I remember, like, he had broken finger. He got cleated in the ribs one time. He had a variety of injuries.
She got knocked into and hit her head on the upright of the goal.
Ooh.
And she was pretty skittish for a few days after that. It rung her bell, which now probably means she had a concussion.
We didn't treat her for a concussion.
She was pretty skittish after that. Yeah. She's had knee and ankle injuries and getting collisions and cleats in the side and burns for playing on AstroTurf.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You play on the turf. It's got the little beads of rubber in it. You got to shake yourself out afterwards because it's all in your shirt. And stuff. Turns out they think they'll have trouble growing nice plush grass in Qatar in the summer of 2022
when it's 150.
And they have decreed that the Women's World Cup in Canada next year, they will be playing on artificial turf, which is unnecessary because you can grow grass in Canada. And the women's players are not happy that they're the guinea pigs just to see how many. Is there or is there not an uptick in injuries and problems playing on turf? And I don't think it's fair to them or anybody. I mean, they played the first indoor game in World Cup history was the Pontiac Silverdome in 99, and they brought in a temporary grass field for it, and it worked. They knew what they were doing in 99. They don't think they can do it. Qatar is going to be problematic. It's problematic now.
Yeah.
From the day it was announced and they started construction to opening kickoff, they're going to average one construction death a day.
Yeah,
because of the heat and the extreme.
If I may, real quick, for those that are geographically challenged at home that are listening to this, Qatar, very small country on the eastern part of Saudi Arabia. It's a little, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like a little lip, if you will, that jettisons out into the Persian Gulf. It is also kind of northwest of UAE. And it actually, let me see, I have it right here. It is 4,467 square miles. So, I don't know.
Jefferson County, Ohio is 751 square miles.
Okay. All right, well...
And it gets warm there.
Well, yes, I was going to say, it does get warm there because...
They have zero World Cup quality stadiums.
Uh-huh.
They had zero at the time of the announcement.
Wow.
They just and now they're going to build half a dozen of them. They have to build... We're going to put a city in this patch of sand, build the city first so that we can then build the stadium because there's right now nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So...
its population, real quick, just estimate for this year. There's no hard data. As of 2010 census, 1.6 million people. The estimate is it's now 2.1 million people. So that's a lot of people and not a lot of room. You know, 4,400 square miles. That's not all.
In Qatar, it's not the next World Cup, right? It's the one after.
Yeah.
Right.
Where's the next World Cup's in Russia.
Russia.
Well, that won't much better.
Yes, that's going to go so swimmingly.
You saw the Olympics. I also love the Olympics. Watched a lot of the Olympics. there seemed to be no major problems.
Yeah, it did.
In terms of programming and all of that. You saw the news stories. People, their toilet seats are on wrong. Their doors don't work. There's
the
no
guy that had to break out of his own room because the door locked and all that. The power lifter guy. Yeah.
Those seem to be isolated issues.
Yeah,
they managed to hold off on shooting down commercial airplanes until after the Olympics. Right. That was a good PR move on their part.
Yeah.
That's something, you know, Olympics have been canceled because of war.
Right.
Yeah.
I like Brian. You make it sound like they got together and like, hey, fuck Putin. We are going to bring them to their knees. Oh, whoa. Can you hold off until after the Olympics, yeah, please?
Let's hold off on medal ceremony, then we'll get back to business.
Then we can blow shit up, man. Let's just calm down for a minute, man.
But it did. It went smooth, and the media loves to. And that was the story leading up the Olympics. This is going to go wrong. There'll be bombings. Yeah. There'll be terror.
Didn't billions happen. Of yeah. dollars, corruption, and waste. Yep. Yeah. And now it went somewhat fairly smoothly.
Yeah.
But you know what? I do remember during the Olympics, real quick, as another side conversation, that there was a guy that was on the radio. I think it was on NPR. I'm not sure what I was listening to. I don't remember. But anyways, talking about how hosting the Olympics really does not, in the long term, financially benefit any country. It's a status symbol.
Like, right.
We have the Olympics. Yay. Because he harkened back to the summer games in Greece, which would have been, I'm trying to think,
2004.
And all the infrastructure they built for that is now just a wasteland. Like, they didn't do anything with it. Where London is trying to take those Summer Olympic areas that they built and convert them over to livable space, retail space, and all that jazz. But economically, when you look at it in the long run, hosting the Olympics does nothing for you. It's really...
Isn't it similar with the World Cup? Is there a long-term benefit?
There's not a long-term benefit, generally, economically. Yeah. There's just not. And Brazil threw a lot of money at it.
A lot.
That a lot of people said could have been spent on schools and hospitals and social services and things.
Sure, sure.
And the stadium in Manaus was built. It hosted four games, and they have no further plans for it. And this is a city of something like a million people.
Sure. Yeah.
And they don't... It's so remote, no high-level team wants to play there.
It's just a building that's there, and they just do nothing with it afterwards. It just sits there and decays.
At this point, yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happened in Greece with the Olympics. That's what they were saying in this report, and they were talking about, you know, well, Russia has got billions of dollars in here that they're never going to recoup because
they're not.
What are they going to do with all those stadiums and that? They're not going to do anything.
But you'll see over the next few years they'll host national or national championships, world championship, world speed skating championships.
Yeah,
will be at those facilities.
Yeah.
You'll see that if you maintain those facilities.
Right.
I just saw, and I don't remember the details, the next Olympics they're bidding on, no country that put it to popular vote, do we want to host the Olympics or not?
Yes, I heard it.
They all voted no.
Yep. I heard that was also in this report,
so
too.
China, Kazakhstan, and one other country in the running because they're not letting their populace vote on do we want the Olympics or not.
Or they're saying, we let them vote, and they said we should do it.
Yeah.
Trust us. That's what happened.
Because, you see the money. Spend that money somewhere else.
Well, you know what they need to do? They need to have rock concerts at those stadiums because that's what we learned last night.
Rock on the Range made them big money.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe Rock on the Range should go to Brazil. You know? Though, we snicker, but let's be honest. Iron Maiden made a shit ton of money touring in Brazil, as did many other metal bands.
More money than they ever made in the U.S.?
Yeah, that's right. Like, big money. You know, Brazil loves their metal, man. They love it.
So do you see yourself coaching again now that as your girls grow up? I see you on the sideline with the suit and the clipboard in hand.
Clipboard and
fedora too.
Yeah. Oh, nice fedora. Why not? Bring it back.
There you go.
I
10 miles.
No, mic. Not at this. not at this stage. I to get into the league as a head coach, you have to be credentialed. They have a coaching certification you need, and I've not considered fitting that in. They would ask for volunteers, and there's minimal you can do. But I, at this point, no.
But you're two youngest. They're both playing, right? Soccer or no?
The middle one is just started.
Just started. Okay, season. That's right.
It's,
okay.
It's her third season. The youngest has no interest in athletics of any kind. Okay. And the oldest went on to on to play in college, and very good goalkeeper. The 8-year-old now is she's going to be starting goalkeeper for the first game of the season.
Yes.
Their first year with goalies. It nice. Used to just be like 5-on-5 open goal. Don't just remember not to use your hands. It was you're seeing youth scores of 7-8, and or we lost count. Now there's at the U10 level. Now they're playing with goalies, so we can groom her to follow her big sister's footsteps.
I got to share a story about that. I remember, you guys remember, I coached street hockey at the local YMCA here in Columbus. And every once in a while I would get called, especially when the, quote, home YMCA, which was the North Branch on Sandalwood in North Columbus, when they would host that Saturday, because it would rotate where you would go. You would go on the road and go to Grove City YMCA or out east to Reynoldsburg, et cetera, et cetera. But when we would host, sometimes I got asked, would you come and ref games? I always hated, like, the 4 to 5-year-old street hockey refing because it was just touch the ball and it rolls and then it hits the you know, because they had the inflatable, or not the inflatable, but the cushy boundary that you can put out on the floor. And it was terrible. It was, like, I hated it. It was the worst. Thank God they were only, like, 6-minute periods, because I was like, I could not do an entire game of these 4 and 5-year-olds just touching the ball, and then it rolls and rolls, and nobody can get it. And it was, oh, God, it was bad. But then again, I think that I was too, I don't want to sound awful, but I think I was too experienced for coaching there anyways, because it was all volunteers, and it was, like, dads that, oh, we got the Blue Jackets, I'll be a coach. But yet, they didn't know how to play the game. And apparently, somebody's car alarm, so I'm going off in the neighborhood. Anyways, I was the only one with any type of playing experience. So, like, I would roll lines, and I had a dad one time go, what are you doing? I go, I'm rolling lines. He goes, wait a Don't you just call timeouts and do that? I go, no, man. I had them trained, like, you know, line one, line two, line three. I'd roll them out, man. I just roll them, you know, dump them.
Over the course of play, like a proper hockey game.
Yeah, like a proper hockey game. I go, D, dump, dump. They dump the ball. I go, line two. And they would, line two would roll out and line one come on. And this dad was completely baffled.
Mystifying other parents. He's like,
you got to call timeout to make a substitution. Every other sport.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, so it was just mystifying. And then, like, I knew other little things about the game that the you know, parents didn't know about. Like, you know, even the dirty shit. I was like, hook him, you know, and shit like that. You know, just to try to get an edge, I guess.
That's good. So when you were coaching goalie, did you just go off of what you knew, or did you do research? Did you dig in?
I went off of what I knew when I played goalie up to 8th grade.
What, you didn't watch Tim Howard videos?
It turns out there are different techniques. Oh, and the rules have changed. Yeah. And, I went from, when I started, you could pick up the ball and dribble it like a basketball.
What?
When I started playing goalie.
Really?
And then by 2 seasons later, that was against the rules. You could play it with your feet. And then the rule, if your own player passes it back to you, you're not allowed to pick it up as a goalie. That had changed.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, a credit to my oldest daughter, she never got called for an accidental handball for picking up a ball that her own player passed back to her. I know I would have. So she knew the rules and was able to play the rules. No, there were some modern things. I taught her certain things, and the head coach said, I don't want to do that, but you can do it this way. Because that's how, you know, they do it 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of thing.
Okay.
But I was not a spectacular coach, and I didn't.
You weren't at home saying, "Watch this YouTube video. Look at the
right,
form."
Right. No, and she wanted no conversation about soccer post game.
Yeah.
No. My opinion was post game, we're walking to the car. I'm going to talk to her because it's fresh in her mind, and then we'll forget it. She doesn't want to hear it post game, nor does she want to hear it the day after. The day after that. So I better get all my talking in game time and halftime, and it was not a good relationship.
So this season you'll be coaching the way most parents do, from the stand, annoying other parents.
I'm good at that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that for a minute.
Coaching I think I coached U12, so, rec team. And we had a head coach, and he wasn't always able to be there, so I would be game time coach. And it baffled me that I would look you square in the face and say, go over there, and you would just stare at me like you didn't understand me. Like, as a former teacher, I don't get that. You just stand there like you're looking at me. You hear me. I know you hear me. Go stand over there. And they don't. And that was frustrating.
So. Don't recognize your authority.
I don't need that again.
I'm a sovereign citizen. That's you right. Not recognize your authority.
I'm paying my taxes or going over there. How dare you?
But I love, like, the World Cup and the Olympics especially because they're international. No child of mine is going to be a geographic dunce.
Yeah.
I tell you that. They're going to know countries and they're not going to know geopolitical concerns, they're going to do it. So, we learned a lot about flags and other countries and where these people are and what languages they speak and GDP and everything I can throw at them watching, like, the Olympic opening ceremony.
You get them so invested that when a team loses, there are tears.
There are tears.
Yes, yes.
Or even when a team is losing, it doesn't even have to.
Right. The Americans lost and my daughter was upset and had to leave the room.
And then what else happened?
8 years old.
But then she jumped on the bandwagon of Brazil, right?
Jumped on the bandwagon of Brazil. She loves Neymar and he's a big star. And, well, Lionel Messi from Argentina. Don't know anything about Argentina, and I'm pro-British when it comes to the Falklands conflict, so I don't know, stay away from Argentina. She loves Messi. Well, they lost in the final, and she was rooting hard for them. And I'm rooting for Germany, because they're an impressive squad.
Yeah.
Germany beat Brazil, and that game was done before I got home from work, and she was done with soccer. At the point it was 4-1, she's done. She's off watching Minecraft videos or something. She's not going to be a part of it. That game ended 7-1. Watched the wrap-up show that night, and the guys on ESPN are flummoxed.
Yeah.
That was an impressive thing for Germany and complete collapse by Brazil. And Brazil's won the most World Cups.
Yeah.
And, they're not America. So
they were the home team. They were supposed to.
I should not feel happy for the bitter tears of millions of Brazilians. And all the Brazilians crying in the stands, but all right.
And that is something you don't see in American sport, the open weeping in the stands.
No.
I mean, just really, really emotional.
The emotionality of soccer everywhere but here is, you did not see crying LA Galaxy fans last night. You watch the Women's World Cup, you see the young girls, they're crying, the 10 and 12 year olds, they're crying. Abby Wambach gets hurt, they're crying. She's, she broke her leg. It was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
There was crying. I was upset about it. It was ugly. It was a friendly, or the last friendly before the Olympics, maybe.
Don't cry in friendly.
You know what? Wait a minute. Maybe for the folks at home, what's a friendly?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Can you define it? Because I think
there are, for national team, well, for any team, you'll have your scheduled, your league, if you're a professional team. The national team will have games that count towards rankings, games for qualifying for tournaments, and a lot of the time, for example, between the World Cup qualifying, you've got your games, then you schedule friendlies to tune up for the World Cup, usually against teams that didn't make the World Cup.
All right, so they're just basically like
scrimmages.
Yeah. Practices. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Okay. Preseason,
right?
Yeah, okay.
And they'll do barnstorming games just to line up, and the rules are a little relaxed. You can have more substitutions in a friendly and that sort of thing, just to get players and on the field. So yeah, you'll have Olympic qualifying, and then you'll make the Olympics, and then you'll have a friendly or two just leading up to it. And the U.S., before the World Cup, they had friendlies all over the place just to showcase the team, and then they went to Brazil and
they did better than expected, didn't they? Yeah. The U.S. team.
Worldwide belief is that the U.S. is Johnny Come Lately's to soccer, and we don't understand it. And the team is now, they didn't pick Landon Donovan to go to Brazil. They're going to lose. They're never going to win a game. And they won.
Yeah.
They won one, tied one, and lost one, and got out of the group, which was in a group with Germany and Portugal. Worldwide assumption was Germany and Portugal would get out of the group.
Well, they were called, didn't they call it the group of...
The group of death.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You had the group of champions with Uruguay, France, and another team who had won. No, it was England, Italy, and another. There's three teams in the group who are past champions. And then, but in terms of ranking and prestige, Portugal and Germany are near the top. Although Portugal has not done spectacularly, they have the best player in the world, and they think they're going to be a solid team. And they got trounced by Germany in their first game, and the U.S. was able to sneak in and take second in the group. And they did all right. They came on, they won their next game. But everyone can see, as you look at it, they are gearing up for the next World Cup.
Yeah.
Jurgen Klinsmann has a plan, and that plan is we're going to do considerably better next World Cup. And
so he will be the coach again next World Cup, you think?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. They're going to stick with him?
Yes. Yes. And you could see improvement. I mean, and he's the U.S. has their way of doing things, and the rest of the world does soccer somewhat differently, and it's kind of changing how the national team does, and it's going to take some time. He's bringing up younger players.
Why was England so horrible this past World Cup?
They're never that good. Yeah. And for all your... They're, when the World Cup, I believe they won in 66, mm-hmm. okay? Yeah, I want to say 66. They go to the World Cup, and they have the arguably the best league in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Premiership.
Yeah.
And there are still a lot of homegrown players in that league, and then they get to the World Cup, and they don't do that
well. Do you think it's because in Premier League, that's the quote-unquote big fish in a small pond? You know what I mean? And then you go to international play, and now...
But they've got great players, and it's their game that they invented. Exactly. And okay, so they invented it. Now, none of those guys are still playing, so they don't have any secret rules or anything that they made up, But it's they're underachievers, and I can't fathom why they can't get their act together. I love the Scottish team. I don't remember the last time the Scottish qualified for the World Cup. It's been a while.
Oh, they haven't even qualified.
Not for a while. Not like the final tournament. Hmm. No, they don't. I mean, their league. Well, their league is a lot of financial. Their league is probably second or third tier now. It was one of the higher level leagues, and it's kind of dropping out of size and population and dollar value and all of that. But you know, Italy does well. Italy's got a comparable national league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have a lot of homegrown players. They're good at soccer. They do well. They've won World Cups this century.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing when you look at national leagues. The Brazilian National League, it's not on par with the European leagues, and yet they regularly do very well in the World Cup. Not this time, 7-1 Germany. But it's weird. You have great players. You have Wayne Rooney, a great, great player, well-regarded in terms of skill. Good defenders, and they don't...
I just did several English comedians podcast would get me real excited. England's going to do, and they just flopped.
They lost their first game, lost their second game. Now they're officially eliminated from being able to advance. They did win their last game, but it was
too little, too late.
Right.
All right, so I got a suggestion. All right, I would like to throw this over to a quick break, and when we come back, Brian and John, do you want to compete in a little soccer trivia?
Certainly. Wait, a trivia contest? Yes. Yes.
All right, I've put some questions on the iPad.
One quick thing, I concede.
Never mind, it's not happening. Oh, come on, be a sports chap. Yes,
indeed.
All right, I'll be back right after this, and then we'll play some soccer trivia.
Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North. And you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you gotta go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You could check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here on this episode of the PVD Cast where we're going to play a little soccer trivia. Brian versus John. Now, I will tell the people at home, we are putting away phones, right? I guess we are.
Or to make it fair, I should be allowed to have mine.
All right,
can I answer before you can look it up? that should probably be
that
the
could
challenge.
Be a race.
That's a proper contest there.
That is. All right, so I just randomly looked up some trivia questions about soccer. Let's do 10. That'll be easy. Best out of 10.
Make it happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. All right, so first question. Who won third place in the 2010 FIFA World Cup?
The Dutch.
No.
No, because they lost in the final. Crap.
I'll go Italy.
Germany.
Oh,
Germany. Okay, here we go. And I hope I pronounce this name correctly. Which player did Zidane attack during the 2006 FIFA World Cup final? I remember this. This was the headbutt thing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Where he dove straight
to the chest.
At him.
Italian. I'm ashamed.
I remember
to
the
say
guy
I
biting the guy this year, but I don't remember that.
Marco Materazzi.
Materazzi.
Yeah, Materazzi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, what did he do? What was the actual? What happened?
Here's the story as I understand it. He pulls on Zinedine's shirt.
Zinedine Zidane.
Zizou. Pulls on his shirt.
Yes, that's right.
And Zizou says, if you want my shirt that much, I'll give it to you after the match. Because they train shirts after the match.
Yeah.
And supposedly, Materazzi said, I'd rather have your sister's. And he headbutted him in the chest.
Yeah.
And he was thrown out. And,
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the story as I think I remember.
Yeah.
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brian, you might get this one. Which football team or soccer team was notably mentioned in the movie Euro Trip in 2004?
If you're not Mank, you're Wank. Man U.
Yep, Manchester United. That's one for John. What is the name of the football association in England?
The FA, the Football Association.
No.
No.
Not according to this.
What is it according to that?
Premier League.
Oh, read that question again.
A challenge has been issued.
Hey now, what is the name of the Football Association in England? It says Premier League.
The governing body of football in England is the FA, the Football Association. Okay. Their top flight league is the Premier League.
Okay.
I believe it's currently the Barclays
Premier League.
Premier League.
Barclays, real quickly, we talked about this the other day in a private conversation with a bunch of other people. Barclays, they're involved in commodities and whatnot,
yes.
Right? Is that an English company,
yes.
Correct? Okay. All right. Because somebody, I was at a graduation party and they were talking about it, and I said, I think that it's an English company. And I said, I think that they deal with commodities and stocks and trades and yada, yada, yada.
Right. FIFA.
And FIFA. And FIFA. Okay, all right. How about we throw that one out?
It was a poorly worded question, okay. And accurately answered by your website.
Who is the captain of Real Madrid?
Ooh.
CF.
The captain?
The captain? Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo.
No. Iker Casillas.
No.
All right. What city does the MLS team Timbers represent?
Ooh.
Portland.
Portland is correct. There you go. They
Drew
joined
Carey's,
MLS.
Drew Carey's favorite team.
Really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Huh.
He is a big soccer fan, right?
Because,
yeah, that's right.
Because Cleveland doesn't have a team. Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. Who won the UEFA Champions League in 2010? And that awkward silence.
Spain.
Italy. Because it's my Spain. Answer for all of these.
I'm working back. It was Spain.
FC Internacional Milan.
Oh, crap. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was the club championship. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. The UEFA...
John still needs 1-0. 2-0. Excuse me. 2-0. Okay, here
we go. I misunderstood. 2-0.
2-0.
Correct you there.
All right. Abramovich is the owner of which soccer team?
I should know this.
Especially since the contestant is correcting Alex Trebek on his pronunciation of the questions, you would think that contestant would get the answer.
Chelsea or Man U? Chelsea.
It's Chelsea FC. Very nicely done. He was also the governor of the Chautauqua region in Russia. Okay. Anyways. All right, here we go. Bruce Arena is the coach of what North American soccer team?
LA Galaxy.
There you go. He's taking a commanding 4-0.
Yep, very good.
There you go. How many soccer players per team play on a field?
11.
Damn it, Brian. Come on. That was a softball right to you.
There was no time between the question and the answer. This man DVRs Jeopardy.
Which countries fought the so-called football war in 1969?
Please.
Brian, at this point, do you just want to step outside?
Sure.
I mean, you might as well,
Football wars?
In 69. Also known
as... Uruguay and Bolivia?
No. Ooh. It was also known as the 100 Hours
War. Oh, it was Central America.
Yes, it was.
Say Guatemala and Honduras.
Honduras and El Salvador.
Okay.
All right, there we go. All right, which country hosted the 2002 FIFA World Cup?
2002.
Saudi Arabia.
No.
Germany.
Ooh. South Korea.
South Korea, that's right. Jeezoid.
It doesn't matter. I think you won hand.
It was Japan. It was Japan, South Korea in a joint operation.
Uh-huh.
They played games both places, as I recall.
Which national team won the silver 3 times in FIFA World Cup, but never the championship? They've won silver. They've never won the championship.
France.
In what? In the
FIFA
World Cup?
World Cup, yeah. Which national team? This, though, I think might be wrong in all honesty, because I think that this set of questions is from 2010.
They're going back, yeah.
So I think this might not be correct.
Brazil? Mm-mm. I don't know.
The Netherlands.
Hmm.
They won silver in 74, 78,
that rings
2010.
A bell. That rings
but,
a bell.
Know, I mean, sorry.
2010, yeah.
So, all right, well, winning handedly, John, with
it's still a failing score. That displeases me.
4 out of 10.
In his battle against himself, he's unpleased.
Sorry, Brian.
It was entertaining. Hear you fumble over pronunciations of words was enough.
Well, sometimes the mouth does not cooperate with the brain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, all right. So, with that being said, this has been a very heavy soccer-oriented podcast.
Yeah, it was perfect. I enjoyed it.
A lot of soccer fans will probably enjoy this. Those that aren't soccer fans probably aren't going
to
enjoy it.
They ought to enjoy it.
They ought to. There you
they
go.
They ought to see the crew play. They
it
ought
should.
To
no.
see, watch the World Cup.
Seriously, I'm going to say this again. To support the local team, honestly, going to a crew game is fun.
Oh,
it is real fun. I don't know if it's the same. Well, I'll speak for myself. Like, what I've watched the World Cup, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could sit all day on the couch and watch World Cup. I really don't. Going live is really good. It's a real fun experience, and heck, they have pretty good ticket deals.
Yes.
We got a pretty good ticket deal last night. Couldn't complain about that.
No, it's basically a ticket and free beer, more or less. I mean, that's kind of how that worked out.
It was actually $29 for a ticket with all the Ticketmaster fees and everything. It was $33 total. You got a ticket and you got two beers. And beers themselves were like $8 anyways. That was $16 if you bought two beers at the stadium. So
they're 16 or 18 ounce beer Modelo, which I had never consumed before. Yeah, that was pretty good beer.
Was it?
Considering it was pretty much dinner. That was good beer.
It was too.
It wasn't as good as what are they selling? Club 90?
McLaren.
Muldoon's
local. No, McLaren's.
That was good stuff. Scottish ale there. That was good stuff.
No, just really real quickly, just to mention this, we went to Melt beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which Melt in itself is a meal that you can have and then not eat the rest of the day.
It is.
Because for those that don't know, I mean, Melt is a franchise up in Cleveland. They've opened one down here in Columbus, right in the Short North area. I believe right on the intersection of High and Buttles, I think. It's a fabulous sandwich shop. All kinds of different types of sandwiches that you can get there. In terms of grilled cheese, it's grilled cheese, but they have stuff inside of them. Like, for an example, I had the Dude Abides, which was essentially a meatball, a triangle wedge of grilled mozzarella, or fried mozzarella, jammed into a sandwich with Parmesan cheese on top of it. It was monstrous. It was monstrous. It was everything I could do just to finish the sandwich and not even eat the french fries.
Yeah, that was the challenge. Can you finish the sandwich? Yeah. And so, you had said grilled cheese. I just, you know, I pictured Little Wonder Bread grilled cheese sandwiches type thing. No, these were enormous.
They were gigantic. So really, if you ate that, you're pretty much set for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't have to eat anything else. So
I loved it. That was excellent. Very good
place. Hippest place I've dined in probably 15 years.
I enjoyed the mural on the wall, too. It was really neat.
The mural of Native Ohioans. You know, a lot of interesting folk up there.
I spent 10 minutes insisting Bob Hope should be on the wall until I was corrected. He's from Ohio, but he wasn't born in Ohio.
Right. Because,
he was born in Cleveland. No, he was born in England. Google proved me correct.
It did.
Yeah. the same with, I believe, who was it that we talked about? That also was in that same boat, kind of. Macho Man. That's who it was. Yeah, because he was born in Columbus, but he didn't really live in Columbus. I mean, you know what I mean? But
yep.
Yeah, if I remember,
but he's on the wall.
If I remember correctly, and I'm not 100% sure on this, I believe his old man was up here working the territory.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's why he was living up here, you know, and whatnot, because he was working the territory of the Sheik, because he ran from pretty much all of Michigan, and he would come down into Ohio and do a few shows in Columbus and whatnot. That was part of the circuit, you know.
57 minutes to get to a wrestling reference.
Folks. I know!
Just for the record.
All right.
Your wrestling fan audience is going, it's about time!
Yeah.
God damn it!
If they lasted this long.
Yeah, what is the crossover between wrestling and soccer on the Venn diagram?
You know what? That's a good question.
I think it's higher with hockey, but with wrestling.
Because there was the goon in wrestling. There was the bad guy that was the goon in the mid-90s in the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... okay, so the FA... John looked it up while Brian and I are prattling on about pro wrestling here. John looked it up that the Football Association, simply known as the FA, is the governing body of football in England and the crown dependencies of Jersey, Guernsey, and the Isle of Man. Okay, well, you still won.
So what's that bring your score up?
That still brings me to 50%. And that's a failure.
Yeah, that's still a failure, yeah.
Now, you're going back to World Cup and UEFA City Championships from several years ago.
Yeah.
But all right, man. I could have worked through some of those a little better.
That'll haunt him for a few days, 50%. Yeah,
that's unacceptable.
Okay. That's fine.
That won't win me anything on Jeopardy, should that day ever come.
Are you still eligible for Jeopardy or no?
I am. At this point, I'm officially in the contestant pool.
You still are?
After your potential eligibility is gone, you can retake the online test. And potentially.
Okay, I did not know that.
It's like 18 months or 2 years, and then you take the test again.
Okay.
It's been a perpetual thing for, I don't know, 10 years now.
Yeah, because I was going to say, what many people don't know about my friend John, he is ready to go for Jeopardy. He's ready. He went out to L.A., correct?
I had a tryout in L.A., yeah.
Tryout in L.A.
Tryout in Cleveland. Uh-huh. Tryout in Pittsburgh. So I've done the live tryout based off of the online test.
He's like an independent pro wrestler. He is. He's just going where the work is, man. He's going everywhere.
Just waiting for Alex to give him the call.
I need to fabricate half a dozen interesting stories about myself in 30-second interviews and
feel free to go. I've been a guest multiple times on the PVD cast. It's a great podcast. You should listen to it.
This is only my second time. I'm a little behind, Rich and Brian.
That's because you have, a lot of important stuff to do.
That's right.
In all seriousness, you do. You have a family. This guy over here, he got two cats.
Rogue.
That's it.
That's right. I'm sure they're getting hungry by now.
All right, well, as we start to wrap things up, I'm going to kick off.
Orlando's faves.
That's right, Orlando's fave.
Heard this show before.
You've heard this show before. Do you like the music? You know, I added music a couple of episodes ago, which is playing right now in the background. So, yes, no, the old WCW Saturday Night music?
Love it.
Good. All right.
Got a good beat and you can dance to it? Yeah.
That's not, Starcade Night of the Skywalkers music. That would be cool.
Maybe I'll try to find that.
It's something you can walk around with your disco lunchbox to. Works.
All right, my fave.
Orlando's fave.
I only have one for this week, actually. And it's going to be what's over on the shelf there. I just picked it up. The WWE DVD set. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. I picked it up on Amazon. It shipped the other day. I finally got to watch it because it literally came last Friday. I didn't get a chance to watch it, so I sat down, I think, Tuesday night and watched the documentary part of it, which, in all honesty, and I think many people will agree with me on this, the documentaries are really what's worth it on there. I mean, there's a lot. There's one disc of documentary, there's a disc of promos, and then there's a disc of matches featuring Heyman in a couple of them, but most of them were just people he managed. Most of that stuff I've seen, so I don't really want to rewatch it, but the documentaries are the best. So, and it was a really good documentary. It answered some questions for the first time ever. A lot of conspiracy theories were shattered by it, if you will, and some cool stuff. So I like it. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, the documentaries that you've shown me, they're surprisingly independent-minded. They're not, they're not just the corporate line of this is how great this guy was, or this is what he did. They really get to the warts and all.
There's a few of them like that.
I'm sure.
The first Ultimate Warrior disc that was over there, they threw him under the bus, like you wouldn't believe. Now the new one that's, I think it's out. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's coming out. They're supposedly a little more balanced. There was also a WCW one they did a few years ago that just, WCW sucked. They didn't do anything right. It was asinine. It was stupid. They now have taken a little bit of a different stance on that. Yeah. And the Heyman one, I think, is very balanced as well, because I really get the feeling, like, they interviewed Stephanie McMahon, and, she was very honest about, he just doesn't know how to work within a corporate structure. Mm-hmm. You can't go spouting off to people and being an asshole to people in a corporate setting. This is a corporate setting. WWE is corporate. You can't do that. It's not acceptable, and we're not going to tolerate it, which is what caused a lot of the friction with him being in the WWE.
Sounds good.
All right.
Orlando fave.
There you go. All right, I'm going to wrap things up here. You got anything you guys want to plug?
No, not specifically.
Not specifically.
Almost hockey season.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah? Yeah?
The new and very different Pittsburgh Penguins.
I want to get, what's your opinion so far? Do you think they did well over in the off season?
I will let you know in 3 months what my opinion is, because that's so going to be different than what it has been the last few seasons.
I agree.
I don't understand their handling of firing the GM and stringing the coach along for a while. And if it all works out and they win a Stanley Cup, they're obviously geniuses. But otherwise,
it looked bumbling.
Yeah, it did, and, I don't know. And I also think, too, that they have not made some smart moves to continue to keep multiple lines as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's what you need in hockey. I really think right now, I think you've got to watch Anaheim and Tampa Bay. I think those are the preseason favorites, that if everything stays the same, I think those two are going to be the teams that will – really thrive. I think Anaheim getting Kessler.
Yep.
Ryan Kessler. And I think Eisenman made a lot of moves to secure up some holes, especially defense-wise and goaltending-wise in Tampa Bay. You know.
Women's World Cup qualifying starts in October.
Really?
I don't know if Columbus is hosting a game. I haven't looked that far in advance. They usually do because the national teams win when they play in Columbus, and it's a great facility.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. You'll see the ladies come to Columbus maybe, and qualifying will go through the spring, and then the tournament in Canada is next summer.
Well, there you go.
Excellent.
There you go. Do you think he's on the payroll of USA Soccer?
Could be.
Someday.
Someday, if he had his way.
Hey, the whole tournament's in, you know, American time zones, so that'll make for good television.
That will.
All right, well, here's where you can get in touch with me, ladies and gents. If you don't know by now, I am on Twitter. You can follow me at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you prefer, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Hey, don't forget to check out pvdcast.com. That's the second time in a row I can't get my own website out of my mouth.
It's your own website, John.
I know. I don't know what it is, pvdcast.com. Lots of people are visiting it. You know, I keep going there, folks. Keep boosting those numbers, if you will. I appreciate it. And with that, thanks, guys, for coming on.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.